So I have always been fascinated with street food farmers. So whenever Stacy and I have the chance to go to a big city, I'm always like anticipating getting to see like another street performer. And I'm excited, and Stacy knows it, and I like tap my feet like this is gonna be fun. And I think why I love it is because, you know, in the midst of a concrete jungle, in the midst of like a whole bunch, street performers bring this vitality and this energy and this new life to the city. And so, you know, they have this way of, you know, their laughter and their joking, and, you know, they're all like waiting to like, they're so great at like drawing you in, right? Have you seen this? You're trying to walk by and they just embarrass you. Like, oh, come on. Oh, you want to leave? Fine. Go, go. And they're so great at drawing you in. And so if you've ever been to a Busker Fest in Denver and another city, or just been to a place where street performers are live, it is a ton of fun. And so I want to share with you some of my favorite examples. This is my friend Tony B. Conscience. He calls himself the Van Gogh of Venice Beach. And I love it because what he does is sort of this spray paint art, but he's a poet. And so as you're walking by, he'll often compose poems for you. He composes love poems for the ladies, and he composes other poems for the men. And Tony has just this like vibrant personality about him. And if you notice, what really struck me about Tony is in the back, he has pictures of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. and Muhammad Ali and Cornel West. And so I started talking to him. Oh, wow, Tony, I love that you have those in the back. And he kind of takes me aside and he says, yeah, you need to know something, Dale. Those don't sell here, man. In Venice Beach, only Hello Kitty sells. And so he has Hello Kitty in the front, of course. And if you notice, he's right by the skate park behind. And so he often paints his things on broken skateboards, which is very creative and fun. So I bought one, and it was really fun. And then have you ever grown up, any time in your life, have you grown up with a hamster ball? That's it? There's not more hamster balls? Okay, there we go. So I'm at Venice Beach, right? And I meet this young guy. He made his own hamster ball out of steel. Now, just looking at the guy, like, he is in his own category of uniqueness, right? Which is what makes him awesome, by the way. And so he has figured out this way. He has a teeny little Toyota truck, and he literally has figured out a way to jostle this hugely heavy steel human ball, right? And when he gets going, it's quite fantastic. His girlfriend makes him put on the helmet because he was hitting his head so often. So, street performers. And it's just amazing to see what they can do and the life and the vitality they bring. Let me show you another one. On the 16th Street Mall in Boulder, there is a cowboy who paints himself all gold. Right? And what's genius now is that they're getting tips from you for allowing them to take pictures with your iPhones, right? Genius. And so you can see he had a lot of fun with us on a date night. Then, of course, my favorite all time, you've got to have a juggler when you're at a Busker Fest, right? And they've got to juggle fire. Yes. Are you with me, men? They've got to juggle fire, I said. And hopefully, do it fantastic well. My favorite performance I ever seen was my good friend Luke J, who is here today, and I'm totally embarrassing. Where is he? Right here. Holler, Luke. Luke does a phenomenal job. Let me tell you this quick story because it's like my favorite story. So Luke is down at the Denver Busker Fest, and I'm like just in awe of my friend that can do this stuff, right? He runs 100-mile races and juggles. That's talent. And he happened to be, you know, at these Busker Fests, you have a lot of homeless people downtown, of course. And this homeless man just walks right through his performance. And as a friend, you're like, oh no, it's gonna mess him up, but not Luke J, right? He just keeps going, fires in the air, and then he pauses and he says, Dad, I told you not to embarrass me like this again. Brilliant, right? And everyone is laughing. The situation is diffused, and the homeless guy is like laughing himself, like, ha ha, you know? So it was this brilliant street performers. Now, I want to tell you about a street performer that I met on the Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. This is an African-American lady who literally has this sort of makeshift cart that she wheels out. And I'm watching her, and I'm thinking, what is she going to do? So she wheels out this cart, and she has two PVC pipes and like this homemade banner across it into buckets. And at the top of the banner, it says, "The Gift." And then she puts out two little like camping stools and she sets this little piece of tape out that is like supposedly her line, right? And she's unlike any street performer I've ever met, is she cares nothing about that line. Her focus is on the one-on-one person that she's dealing with. And she has a little clipboard and all these felt tip markers with different colors and a little 4x6 paper that's sort of a hard cardboard paper. And she invites you to sit down and then she does this. She looks you straight in the eye, and she has this, like, almost, she's a little cranky, but she deeply cares. Do you know what I mean? And she looks at you in the eye, and she says, I have three questions for you. Who are you? Where have you been? What do you love? And then, for the next 5 to 10 minutes, she takes her felt tip markers as you're talking, listening to you intently, and she makes these doodles of your name, of the things in your life that were meaningful. And okay, yeah, if you're getting ready to cry, you're hearing this right. She just pauses to listen to people. So there's like a line of like 10 people trying to figure out what she's doing, right? And she doesn't give a rip, right? She's got a little teeny paint can, and then of course you drop money at the end, but you get this personalized piece of art of who you are, where you've been, and what do you love? And so, being Dale, I had to get in the line and I had to ask her, what inspired you to do this? And she said to me, folks today are so busy, I just want to help them slow down and receive. To which you like open your wallet and just throw everything in. She's brilliant, right? And so this African-American woman encouraging the people of San Francisco to slow down and to remember who they are and what they love. And it's a little uncomfortable. So I was watching for a while, and like the women who go through and kind of get it, they're like, they go and run and get their husband, and then their husband has to wait in the line, and there's like this like uncomfortableness, like with the man, like, why am I waiting in this line? What is this about? And then when the man sort of figures it out, the man is like, I can't believe my wife made me slow down for 10 minutes, right? And it's fantastic because it's like, it's the first time that you've been to a street performance where it's really all about getting. It's really subverting our busyness, and you know, you can't worry about where you're gonna get dinner on the Fisherman's Wharf because this lady is asking you these beautiful questions. And so I wanted us to think about today this amazing thing of giving versus getting. And St. Andrew Wildflower is about beauty up from the dirt, not kicking. It's about beauty up from the dirt. And last week we talked about beauty. And we talked about what's beautiful about what Christianity is, the giving ourselves away so others can breathe a little bit easier. And this week we're talking about up. And this is the God dynamic in all of our life. This is where we do the very opposite. We get, we receive from this God who loves us over and ever more again. And so it's completely opposite. And I confess to you that the giving comes real easy for me. I love to give myself out. It's the getting that's hard and humbling. And I think there's some things about that. But I wanted to tell you the story about on the day that Stacy and I got married, it was just beautiful friends and family. And you know how these weddings go. And later that night, we had a big meal. And a friend of mine, an older man who had kind of watched me grow up, he takes me aside. He says, I got something to tell you. And so he takes me outside. And I'm thinking, I have no idea what he wants to say to me. But, you know, it's kind of supposed to be in the wedding right now. And I'm supposed to eat with my friends and family. And he takes me aside and he kind of gets this like serious, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting a dad talk, you know? And that's okay, because dad talks are good. And he pulls out his wallet and he says, Dale, I know that you have not had it easy, but on this honeymoon you're about to take, I don't want you to have to worry. And he hands me $1,000. Now you have to understand, I am like backing away like, no, thank you, I'm really good. And I found myself doing everything I could to try to tell him, hey, I don't need it. I'm good, you know, we're really good, you know? And he looks me in the eye and he just says, this is a gift for you to receive. And so I'm holding this like wad of cash and I don't even know what to do with it. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like, we don't have to worry about the meals we're gonna eat this week. We don't have to worry about the bed and breakfast that we're checking into. This week is covered. And so it got me thinking about this giving versus getting. And I think what's so hard for many of us about the getting is that it's deeply humbling. And we live in a culture that has told us that, you know, we don't need. We live in the John Wayne culture, right? We live with the mentality that we, by our hard work and by pulling up our moral bootstraps, we can make it. And the harder we work, the more we can make, and everything's going to be all right. But the reality of life is that all of us have these deep needs, right? All of us have these places where things are broken and not going to be fixed. And the reality is we need one another desperately. The reality is quite the opposite. We are people in great need who can't even learn to flourish if we don't live in community with one another. And so giving versus getting. And then there's this passage in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I find it the most difficult and most profound passage in the Bible. I keep coming back to it over and over again. We've actually taught on it about 3 times at St. Andrew Wildflower because it's that important. And it starts off with this great need. It starts off with naming this problem before it gets to the up. So listen to these incredible words. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world. Now, I want us to pause here because many of the sermons you've heard and many of the talks you've heard about that first sentence, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived. I speak to people often. And that verse has done tremendous harm in the church because we've only read that verse, right? And we've heaped a whole bunch of shame and a whole bunch of guilt onto our individualist Christianity. And we've defined sin as, you know, you've heard this over and over again, missing the mark or not following through on God's laws, right? And that's done a tremendous amount of harm. When the verse is doing something profoundly deeper, it goes on to say, following the course of this world, it has in mind here patterns and rhythms. And then it says, following the ruler of the power of the air, this other force that's at work in our world. And then it says, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. Okay, so pause there. So this passage asks us to go beyond this individual mistakes we make, and it asks us to think about those landmines that we often find in life, those situations that go beyond our control. It's almost as if when you're rafting or when you're kayaking, you're looking out for that rock in the river that you can't see that can mess you up. You're looking out for the eddy that can pull you away from that main flow. You're looking out for the undercurrents. You're looking to maneuver your boat with the people in it down that river. And there's many obstacles in the way, right? This passage is trying to teach us that life, there is a reality to being human that we all can get trapped and sucked down into. We can get stuck really easy. And I wonder if you've ever taken the time to kind of listen to your friends or family stories. All of us in human nature have this propensity for downward spiraling. And it's this propensity, like when we don't surround ourselves with friends and we don't surround ourselves and receive this gift of God, to sort of find ourselves sinking deeper into the mud, into the mire of life. All of us can wake up and find ourselves in these unhealthy patterns, right? And do you ever find yourself like, I've got to find a new rhythm? And it's as simple as like our work patterns and our love for our kids and also like our homework and whatever we're involved in. It's just really simple patterns that go kind of, that we get sucked into that are not healthy and life-giving. And this is a major problem to being human, right? And then it goes on, it says, all of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and the senses. And we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. And so you think about a thing like attitudes and behaviors, and this passage is quite amazing, right? In painting, not simply a simple, I wronged you, you wronged me, but this deep, rich understanding of the forces in our world at work that pull us down, that make us earthen, right? That pull us into this downward, earthen type of existence. And it's one of those passages that you breathe in and you breathe out, and you think about your life, and you think about those patterns and those periods of your life where you were sort of pulled down. And then all of a sudden, the passage moves us to the up, this beautiful, amazing, empowering love that God offers to us. And it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And so the passage is making really clear, when we were dead and in those deadly patterns that we were living, God is the one who gives us this great empowering love that can lift us out of any situation, lift us beyond any pattern or rhythm that has been unhealthy. This is the God of flourishing love. This is what a God of resurrection does day in and day out. God takes these patterns and these relationships that are unhealthy and moves us, literally helps us to go up in our existence and our relationship with God. And I love it because like we were saying, the giving and the getting, it's hard for us to hear that there are moments in our life where all we can do is sort of palms up say, God, I need your help. I need a new pattern. I need a new rhythm. I need new life to come from this death. And that's hard. That's hard, right? That's hard to admit our total dependency on this God of love. And then the verse says it one more time, as if we forget and misunderstand humans, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And what I want to show you about this beautiful passage is the word salvation is sozo in the Greek. And the Greek has a way of using tenses and in a very more exacting way than English does. Literally what this writer is saying, it's by grace that you are being saved. Absolutely phenomenal. All of us are in this process of being on this fantastic, amazing journey with God, of moving from these places of death and earthen to this place of up, to this place of flourishing growth in our life. And so the passage says, by grace, you are being saved. And this word salvation, it's another like churchy word that we throw around. I love the way John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, defines it. He says, salvation is a life filled and overflowing with love. It's a life perfected in love. It is a life that is fascinated and formed and filled with love. And this love can't help but find a way out to spill over into the lives of people everywhere. But it all starts from receiving the love that God is pouring into you. And so if faith then is radically different than we thought, it's not this one-time thing, it's this continual, God continually pouring love into you, this continual gift, this divine gift of love on top of love, on top of love, then we have hope, great hope that whatever pattern we find ourselves in, this God is going to bring us life, bring us up out of it. And I think it's also amazing that our lives can be this shining brilliance of love for everyone when we receive the gift of God's love. And so at St. Andrew Wildflower, we are going to be passionate about beauty, about this giving ourselves. We're going to be passionate about the up, about receiving God, and about being a place in a community that receives God's empowering grace for us. And then next week, we're going to talk about from the dirt. And so the up that we've been talking about is many things. Up is God's gift to you. And up is the grace that transforms you from these places and patterns. Up is love from God that infuses every day and everything that you do. Up is the reminder that you belong, that you are freed from death. Up is God's empowering love for you to live a better, richer life. Maybe it means being more present to your kids. Maybe it means attaining that school degree that you hoped for, or becoming that person of character and virtue. God's love empowers you to be that person. Up is resurrection. If you heard in that passage, there's a sense of up is the resurrection that God has for all of us. And so, giving versus getting. And at St. Andrew Wildflower, we have been passionate about the Bible, and number two, Harry Potter, and then number three, St. Augustine, right? Yeah, I thought that'd be cool, one, two, three. And probably in that order, right? Well, St. Augustine wrote this incredible book called The Confessions in the 4th century, and he's actually dealing with the same idea of up. And he says this in the very first page, he says, You have made us and drawn us to yourself, and our heart is unquiet until it rests in you. And then you go through this incredible narrative of his life, of his journey, of these patterns and rhythms that he's gotten into. And finally in book 13, he has this incredibly beautiful poetic line. In your gift, that's the great love of God, we find rest. And there we enjoy you. Our true place is where we find rest. We are born toward it by love, and it is your good spirit who lifts up our sunken nature from the gates of death. Your gift sets us afire, and we are born upward. We catch his flame, and up we go. In our hearts, we climb those upward paths, singing the songs of ascent. St. Augustine gives us this beautiful vision of up, of a God who is ready to pour out into our life the empowering love for our day-to-day life. And so, God is like this African-American woman that I met on the fisherman's wharf. And God is more. God is the one who not only does it one time, but God does it day in and day out, over and over, infusing your very life with this empowering love. And so this morning, I want to conclude by this litany, this sort of blessing to you in the days ahead. And you can help me out by every time I name a certain group, you're going to repeat, receive the gift of God's grace, finding and filling in every place. So if you're comfortable, I would invite you to put your palms up and to lay them in your lap. Or if you're not, just your heart open to receive this great love from God. And so if you're a mom here today, let go of all the expectations and receive the gift of God's grace, finding and filling in every place. And if you're a dad here today, stop your well-intentioned striving and receive the gift of God's grace, finding and filling in every place. And if you're a college student, let go of the could-haves and the should-haves and receive the gift of God's grace, finding and filling in every place. And if you're an aunt or an uncle, your efforts do not go unnoticed. Receive the gift of God's grace, finding and filling in every place. And if you're a son or a daughter, growing up is hard work. Receive the gift of God's grace, finding and filling in every place. And if you're a grandparent here, our debt to you can never be repaid. Receive the gift of God's grace, finding and filling in every place. And brothers and sisters, my friends here today, receive the gift of God's grace, finding and filling in every place.